Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Goes beyond this LSU season for me. Like, everybody is so quick to rank LSU as either the number one or number two toughest stadium in the country, and I think it's a great venue and all those things, but to me it is a literal night and day difference in every sense of the term at Tiger Stadium. Like, I've covered so many day games there, like particularly 11 a.m. games, where you're covering mediocre teams or teams that are falling short of the expectation. It's a little sleepy. Everybody's hungover from the night before
or still drunk
from the night before and can't drag themselves into the stadium. Yeah. Night games, they're drunk, but they're primed. They're ready to get in that stadium and make life hell on the opponent. So I do think that is, you know, if this was an 11 a.m. kickoff, I wouldn't think twice. I'd pick Texas A&M. Night game, this is one I have circled as a potential upset. But I still think the Oklahoma Ole Miss game is bigger because you have the coaching drama, you have the high playoff stakes. To me, there's not huge playoff stakes in the Texas A&M LSU game because I think LSU is going to lose again somewhere along the way. I think they're mathematically still in the playoff hunt. I look at them as sort of a masquerader at this point. And Texas A&M, they don't have to have this one. Their playoff drama heats up in November. So overall, I think the Ole Miss Oklahoma game is bigger, but this one's pretty interesting because I think Texas A&M's on upset alert.
All right, and then lastly, how many eyes are you going to have on SEC Network at 11:45 in Fayetteville?
Yeah, this could be the end of the road for Hugh. Although I would have said the same thing last week, right? I would have said.
I think the way the game played out, I think for him, it's like they needed to get embarrassed by Missouri, but the fact that it was overtime and really Missouri could have won the game in regulation, but the defense fought back, they made a play, and then you could blame it on, you know, a sick kicker. But it's almost like if they go and they get Petrino'd, like, yeah. I don't know.
If you're losing to an interim coach against a team that has no conference victories, and then you come out of the weekend and it's you and Kentucky in the conversation as the worst team in the conference. I guess you could throw South Carolina in there too, probably. If Auburn cares at all about its football program anymore, which I believe that it does, I don't know how you could justify keeping Hugh Freeze after a loss to Arkansas. I really don't. I mean, it's not like his buyout is cost prohibitive. He's not recruiting in a way that says you have to keep him for one more season. There really is just no argument if he loses.
You know what, honestly, I've talked myself into?
What's that?
I think they are terrified because Hugh's not even the best coach on his staff. Like, I don't even know where he would rank on his own staff. I think they're legitimately concerned that if they fire him and they hand it to Durkin, Durkin's going to force them to keep him. Because I do think Durkin would do a better job.
Then you hand it to somebody else, right? You hand it to someone you don't think you'd be pressured into into keeping, which would be a weird, I mean, you're kind of tanking on this season.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, if they lose to Arkansas, they're 0-5 in the SEC. The season's already tanked anyway, right? And you don't want to be backed into that corner of having to hire your interim. I think the only argument to keep Hugh, and this is a weak argument, but if I have to make an argument, you're saying, Blake, you have to make an argument to keep him. My only thing I could say is, boy, it's going to be a really crowded carousel, and Auburn's going to be about the third or fourth or fifth job,
yeah,
the fifth best job available. And you think, are you better off kicking the can down the road and maybe having the hope of being the best job available next season? Like, if Auburn would have fired him last year in year two, Auburn would have been the best job available on the market. I don't know who they would have been able to get, but they would have been the best job available. This year,
Bill Belichick.
Sure. But I mean, hey, James Franklin's out there, but James Franklin might still be out there next year. So that's a pretty weak argument, I believe. But if you want to make one to stick around for one more year, I guess that's it. Do you want to wade into it, especially if you think LSU could open this year or some other high profile jobs could open that you're worried about? I mean, because I think if Auburn opens, what would they be? They'd be the third best job available. I'd probably put them behind Penn State and Florida. Auburn fans might argue that they're a better job than Florida. I don't know. I guess it depends on how you cut it. I wouldn't want to be living in Alabama's shadow, frankly.
Would you rather have Florida State?
Because
that's where it starts to get difficult. Like, I don't.
Depends on how you look at it. It depends on if you're the type of coach who would rather be in the ACC because it's an easier path to the playoff. Or it depends, are you the type of coach who says, I want to be in one of the Super 2 conferences? I mean, there's an argument to be made for being Florida State in the ACC. I don't know how many coaches are wired that way. I think a lot of these guys are like, no, I believe so highly in myself. Put me in one of the top two conferences in the land, and I'll go crush it. You know, if it were me, I might say, yeah, I'd rather be at Florida State in the ACC. But I don't know how many coaches think that way.
All right, Blake, we appreciate it, my man.
Okay, thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. When we come back, let's talk about that USF-Memphis game. Let's also get into a little bit of the NFL slate and more from a big weekend in college football. We'll talk about it all next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Let's get in the list. Tiger football. All right, boys. I think I've seen that the line is up to 6.
Yeah, there's dogs.
Obviously, it's largely, I presume, dependent on your sports book of choice.
Yeah.
Do y'all get the sense that the line reflects the quarterback situation?
100%.
Okay. Are we 1,000% sure, given the fact that Brennan did try to play and couldn't play?
Uh-huh.
And let's be real, the reason that you want Brennan in there is for his ability to run the football.
Yeah.
If he's going to have a swollen up knee, like, are we 1,000% sure that's the best option? Because I get it, there were some freshman mechanics and like game mechanic mistakes from AJ, but God, you were reminded of, man, this guy's pretty good.
He looked good.
And I get it. It's also UAB adjustment, all that.
And he's throwing it every play.
Correct.
Like when he was in the game, so. There's that.
Man, he can make some throws.
But he did. Oh, the sideline one? Like,
he looks very, last drive? He looks very good in a jersey.
Yeah, this is your swagger guy, remember?
Yeah, no, he looks good. So, I don't know. The thing that I think is interesting about this game is it feels like there's only two ways this thing's going to go.
What's that?
You either win the game and you're reminded that, yes, last week sucked, but nothing actually changed. Mm-hmm. Because you could spend a loss to UAB because the path was always the same.
Yeah.
It was you weren't getting in as an at-large team. So you still have to win the league and then you're likely in. I don't think a UAB loss is going to impact that. If they win out and they win the American, they're going to be in. So if you win the game, it's like, yes, last week sucked, but you can also throw out our quarterback got hurt.
Yeah. Oh, you got to use that.
You're down when your quarterback got hurt. But
you're
yes,
emailing the committee.
Correct.
Saying quarterback got
correct
hurt.
But I weirdly think if you lose the game, everyone's going to just start having the same conversation, which is, I guess we're just destined to do this forever. Where Ryan is.
This could be the year.
Like, you want to keep talking yourself into, yeah, this time it's different.
We can do it.
But like, I just found myself during the UAB game understanding all of the context involved. But it's just like in the fourth quarter, you're just like, we're just gonna do this forever. Where he's never gonna be great enough to take you to this next level.
But he's not gonna be bad either.
And he's never gonna get fired. And I just feel like emotionally, that's like the two paths. And I do also think, like, I don't know, like, I really feel like if I had a better read on what the quarterback thing could look like tomorrow, I don't think it's the worst spot in the world for Memphis. They've been really good at home, and they've been really good at home under Ryan. And this also feels like one of those ones where everyone's kind of loading up on South Florida, and then you look up, lo and behold, and South Florida's going to find themselves in a dogfight.
Yeah.
I think the other larger problem, though, is where could Memphis have an advantage? Because I guess you would say in the run game, but I do think South Florida's front is better than any front they've seen this year. I think their front's definitely better than Arkansas's.
Yes, 100%.
We've talked about it. I don't love the back end of South Florida's defense, but I've always said, give me a better front and a weaker back end
the back end look
correct.
Good, yeah.
Because if your front's not good, I can still find ways to run it on you.
Yeah.
And I don't really have to worry about throwing it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like this is one of those weird situations where it's unequivocally a big game, but I don't feel particularly strongly one way or the other. Like, my eyes tell me South Florida's better, but it's a football game. Like, they don't have to be better in a 7-game series. Like, they'd have to have one more point tomorrow. Like, I don't know. I don't have a strong conviction of this game's going to go a particular way.
No, I don't.
But I do think that has to do with quarterback.
100%. It's definitely the quarterback situation, and especially if with both quarterbacks. Like, if you're starting Lewis in this game, there is the question of can he still bring that dynamic dual threat ability to this game that you're going to need. You're going to need that against USF. But if you start AJ, there's the question of, you know, was last week just, you know, no huddle offense?
Throw him in there. Nobody's got any film.
They're just trying to run the timeout. They're just playing too deep.
Backyard football. Yep.
Or what is he going to do when, you know, they're showing six and bringing four or showing four and bringing seven or whatever the case may be? There is that added element of unknown that comes with him potentially being the quarterback in this game. But I thought he showed some good dual threat ability too, you know, when things broke down. So it's definitely that's what makes this game so unpredictable, because you just don't know what you're going to get from the quarterback position, which so happens to be the most important position.
And then I do think, like, if you wanted to spin it positively, part of the problem last week was some of the game mechanics we were talking about. The delay of game down on the goal line.
Yeah.
And I also blame the coaching staff on that one. There was a review. Uh-huh. You're on the sideline huddled up. Call your play. And if you can't run it a freaking yard on UAB and then get up and run it again, what are we talking about here? Like, get up, run the play.
Yeah.
Like, there shouldn't be the check with me, all that. Like, but how much better would he be?
Smash mouth football.
Yeah, but also it's like, okay, if he had a full week of practice knowing he's the starter, how much of that stuff can they get cleaned up?
Yeah.
I would expect most of that stuff would get cleaned up. And also, thinking of it, to hopefully put a more positive spin on it, if USF secondary is really the worst part of their defensive, you know, structure and how well they've played this season, wouldn't you want a guy that we've seen who can really spin it?
He can spin it.
In AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you prefer to have that kind of guy out there where, sure, you still want to establish a run. You've got these two awesome running backs in the backfield.
Yeah.
But there's an added threat there if you've got a quarterback that, you know, hey, this guy can just put it on a rope on us if we don't really D up to Cortez Bram or whoever else is out there, CJ Smith. We could be in a lot of trouble if we don't do that.
Yeah.
Of course, in effect, that can affect a defensive game plan as well.
You do get the sense with him that there is that added element of the potential to be explosive
yeah.
on the offense. And like we know what Memphis is capable of running the football. And they've had times. They've had a few, you know, big pass plays over the course of the season where you see the signs are there. But, yeah, with A.J., I think there is that added element. And I think they can win this game with him. I don't trust it, you know. I don't trust it from that standpoint because, again, it would be his first start. It would be, you know, a situation. And quite frankly, he's the number two quarterback now, we think.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the number two quarterback a few weeks ago.
It always seemed like to me, though, they were trying to redshirt. So it always felt like to me, like, okay, if somebody has to come in to, like, mop up the game or the, you know, like, then you.
Yeah.
But now that I think it's like, hey.
Yeah, because you're talking about a true freshman and correct. A redshirt freshman.
Like, right. It's not like there's a. Yeah. There's
somebody's
like,
going to leave at some
correct.
Point.
And there's not a huge deal of experience. So who gives you the best shot? I don't know. I mean, to your point about the passing game, I also think DeMichael makes a good point is what happens when they just sit there and go, cover zero, buddy, and we are coming after you.
Make a play.
Like,
we don't trust it.
Well, because this also gets to something that George and I have talked about. Who do you trust as a receiver? Because oftentimes in that one, it's like, get in the shotgun, find somebody that can beat his man off the bat and get the ball out of your hands. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know.
There's
like,
no third and seven.
Correct.
We're going right to this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
But is that because the passing game?
I don't. That's a great question. It's like, it's the chicken or the egg. Again. It's like, would some of these guys look better as receivers if they had a more elite passer throwing them the ball?
I think so.
I mean,
that's. We see that all across football, you know. But, yeah, in this case, I do think, you know, this is more like Memphis, in my years of watching them, it's rarely ever been a skill issue at the University of Memphis. I do think, you know, when you have a quarterback, and the way they've played this season has looked a little bit different because you don't have that super explosive quarterback that's giving you those 400 yard passing games periodically through, you know, AAC play or whatnot, but AJ can do that. He can be that guy.
And then I guess from the Tiger defense perspective, it's like, good luck, because everybody knows this. I hope everybody's sitting down for this. Stop the explosives in a goalish, in a Heupel, Baylor, veer and shoot. Stop the explosive plays. You got a good chance. It's like, thanks, man. Let me write that down.
Now we actually got to do it. Now we actually got
to
do it.
Correct.
Which, I mean, to give them some credit, Memphis's defense has been really stout against the run, especially at home. And that is, I mean, part of what USF wants to do is to run the football, establish the run to open up the pass game. Again, simple concept there. Have fun trying to stop it with a quarterback who's built like a linebacker. Who's been really good this year. But to give them that credit, I mean, Memphis's defense has been pretty good at least making some teams one-dimensional throughout the season.
Yeah. It's a very
– let's see.
Both of these teams have very dynamic running games. And,
yes.
You know.
All right, the best offense Memphis has seen is Arkansas, right?
Arkansas.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Best offense that USF has seen is Miami.
Yep.
Best – defense that USF has seen is Miami or was
Florida?
To me, it's like
Florida's defensive unit is good, but Miami, I think they just have the dudes.
Yeah, I think best defensive line is probably Florida, but Miami probably overall.
I mean, and best defense the Tigers have seen is
ain't Arkansas.
No,
we can start there. It ain't Arkansas. Who is the best defense that?
Is it Troy?
Oh, goodness.
It could be, but are we putting a lot of stock into that one game against Clemson for Troy?
Well, I was just trying to think of.
I mean, good Lord, it might be Arkansas.
Oh, and
it might just be Arkansas.
Surely not.
All
right, here we go. All right, let's see. Let's go with total defensive EPA. Troy is at 68.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, it might be Troy.
Boys, I think it's Troy.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
It's not Tulsa.
Yeah.
We know it's not Florida Atlantic.
All right. Do you care to guess what Arkansas's total defensive EPA is?
No.
What rank? Out of 136 options.
115.
Okay.
I was going to say my dartboard was actually 117. I was like, you know.
Well, you'd both be wrong. 131. There are.
I tried to give him a little bit of credit.
Correct.
Throw a little cupcake games in there. You tried to give him a little credit, but yeah.
I
know that Notre Dame game did them bad.
I don't.
Jeremiah Love makes a lot of people look bad. Let's be honest.
I mean, Notre Dame didn't help the cause, but like everyone.
Everyone does this to them, huh?
I mean, A&M got what, 45 last week? What did that finish? 45, 42?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee didn't have its best day.
No, but I felt like Tennessee's was more turnover problems. I felt like Tennessee was actually moving the ball, but then they were just like, hey, here's a pick.
Here's a
fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, their best defensive performances were against Alabama, A&M, and Arkansas State. The rest, they've given up at least 30.
Shout out Butch Jones. Yeah. Butch won a game 15-14 last week. On
classic.
Little fun belt on a Tuesday.
Mm. Also, classic.
I don't know if we've talked about this. For all the Tennessee fans out there, Butch Jones is like, you would call them skinny jeans, but he's wearing like, they're not joggers, but they're like.
Oh, they're those really skinny, like tech pants type thing.
Yeah.
It's a look.
Yeah.
Well, it's something that's happening.
Something happening.
I would just be like, man, I just go back to maybe just like the normal, like Nike dry fit pants. Cause like he's clearly trying to do the thing where it's like, I'm trying to look younger.
That's what it is, huh?
And it's like,
it ain't working.
That's not happening. So I guess, are we in agreement? Troy's the best defense.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate reality, but,
Well, I wish the Tigers well tomorrow. I truly have no idea. Like, to me, Byron Brown can be a little loose with football.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've seen
at times, USF had a bunch of turnovers against North Texas, ended up not mattering. But, like, to me, like, that's where we are. It's like, whether it be because of the quarterback issue, or not issue, but uncertainty. And the fact that, like, it's really tough to get a gauge by watching teams in the AAC play each other. Because I feel like...
Especially good team, bad team.
Correct. There's been
well,
so many...
most of it.
There's so many,
problem.
There's so many games that get sideways so early that you're just like, I don't know what this means.
Yeah.
Like, on the flip side, last week, where... You think maybe USF's in a little bit of a trap spot against FAU. It's like, absolutely not. Yeah.
We thought Memphis.
Correct.
Yeah.
I was always a little worried about an interim coach bump.
We did talk about it.
Enough guys and have been around enough people that have played for Dilfer that I could have seen that flipping. Did I think they were going to lose the game? No. Mm. But did I think that they had a chance to be in a dogfight?
Man, I thought it'd be a quarter. You know, like.
Yeah,
and it wore off.
Didn't they I'm trying to remember the game script. It's like, didn't they retake the lead in the second quarter? And I was like, okay, all right, that'll stabilize. I was like, is this the FAU game again?
That's when UAB started putting it on them.
And then it's just like you look up, and then third quarter, you're like, guys, I thought they were gonna thought the idea was come out and get a stop. Yeah. Like,
yeah, Memphis had a 14-10 lead.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, I was like, okay, this is gonna stabilize. Like, we'll
and it didn't.
It most certainly did not. All right, rest of college football. Who's got things that interest them? I open the floor.
I mean, we touched on it a little bit, but that LSU Texas A&M game,
doggies.
It can get a little spicy because it and
underrated hated rival. Like I don't know if average fan knows that they don't like each other.
A&M hasn't won there yet since they've been in the SEC.
I think that's correct. Let me double check.
Yeah. I don't think they've won.
That's one of those stats that definitely sounds correct.
Yeah. Colt
I will double check for you. Yes.
Colt versus Colt.
It's all like they all kind of just have money from East Texas Oil.
Yeah.
They're kind of the same, but they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. It's one of those games because LSU struggles against the running quarterback, right? You know, as good as Blake.
Still do.
Blake Baker's been really good as the D coordinator there, but the running quarterback is clearly the Achilles heel. And A&M, if you go look at that last year's game, they kind of put – LSU kind of put Reed on the map in that game.
Yeah, and I am where I will meet LSU fans halfway.
Uh-huh.
Wegman started that game.
Yep.
And they had Wegman in hell.
They did.
And then
not that hard.
Correct.
It was like a Roldis Chapman coming out the bullpen in 2016 or something.
I will say this though now about Wegman. Yeah. He's at the right level. When you see Wegman at Houston, you're like, this makes more sense.
They might win this week.
It's very much on the table.
They might win this week.
Although I did see Sharps are eating up Arizona State.
Yeah. Cause you know, I mean
I just would think Sharps would see the big win. Last week, Houston, but I think maybe Houston seems to be kind of a public darling. Like it feels like that they've been getting bet pretty hard. Mm. All right, so 2012's the first time, right? Yeah. That's when A&M comes in.
Yeah.
All right, team versus team. God, that would be longer than what was the Auburn streak where they never won in Baton Rouge? It was until Bo's last year.
Yeah.
Bo went full Bo.
Uh-huh. When he was just running around
correct.
In circles.
It was running literally just it was like the full Bo Nix experience. Yeah. Like they were getting beat for three quarters and it was the Giants game on Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah. No, totally definitely not still thinking about that game. All right, versus
I thought about you if
you know what though? I
thought about you.
It is the perfect season to have that kind of loss. Because the to me, the
makes me feel good because I didn't know if you were throwing things around or you just put your head in the pillow or you were like,
I also did a hedge.
Oh.
I had Denver in a money line.
Oh, the good old I'm getting something out of this either way it goes.
I know all
about it.
I'm not ruining all my Sunday.
I'm getting something out of this.
Correct. Now I throw that out there. I did fully do that. All right.
You told me don't bet on my team.
I know, but then listen, I'm a big do as I say, not as I do guy.
Oh,
rules for thee, but not for me. You are correct.
Yeah.
Since joining the league, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and only one has been particularly close.
Yeah. Man, this might be the year that's why the line is as close as it is.
I can't tell if I'm the sucker.
What are you thinking?
I truly went vibes play. I took LSU.
Wow.
Because one of my moves is I treat it like the NFL where, like, for instance, last night was classic. As much as I can't stand Herbert, number one, when I get Herbert as a favorite against a team that's probably not going to make the playoffs, that is a hammer. He is phenomenal against those guys.
The two LSU losses are road losses.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So at Ole Miss at Vandy.
At Vandy, yep.
But I did kind of think Wegman looked better, or not Wegman. I did think Nussmeier looked better on Saturday.
He did. The defense.
Correct. Yeah. And then it's that classic where I feel like everyone has kind of now decided that A&M seems like they're stable, and they seem like they're consistent, and it feels like
this is when chaos comes.
The sky is falling. I also just don't think an SEC team's just going to roll, and this is like the classic. All right. This one would make sense to me. It's entirely possible, though, on Sunday night, I'm going to be sitting there going, why did I bet on that offense?
Yep.
They can't move the ball on anyone. Why? Why did I do that?
Literally.
But, like, the other thing I was considering was we were talking about the Reed game last year. Wegman starts, looks awful.
Yep.
They put in Reed, and they just were not prepared.
No.
Because – remember, Reed only, I think he only threw two passes. Now, one was that bomb that was a dime.
Yeah.
Maybe in hindsight, that was kind of like a foreshadowing moment of like, this guy,
He is not Captain Checkdown. My dude throws the ball down the field.
Yeah. I don't care about your safeties.
Captain, air this thing out. That's what he does.
But, like, I can't tell. Like, is Vegas – to me, it seems like average person would think this line should be bigger, right?
Oh, for sure. I was surprised.
Like, to me, that's why I'm sitting there going, like, I'm taking LSU, but there's no – it's strictly vibes.
Yeah. I can't do it. I just
– I acknowledge that that's probably
– I can't. It's the running quarterback factor. It's the fact that even in a day where LSU looked improved offensively, it still didn't look like, you know, world beaters, so to speak. And, I think Blake made a good point. Like, Texas A&M has definitely been skating here. I mean, they shouldn't have beaten Notre Dame, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. But
we did – that's a classic. They should not have. They also didn't embarrass themselves. Like, I thought there was a universe where they could go into that game and you're like, oh, this is a different class.
Yeah,
and you're like, no, these two teams are similar.
Mm-hmm. Like that, they're really good.
Like, and it just came down to who had ball last.
Yeah. I like Missouri Vandy, too.
I think that is a very good game. I just have, like, normally as I just blindly trust Diego, gambling brain tells me Missouri's the right side on that one. But I can't bet against Diego, so
you know,
I just let...
You know how they say you don't do the transitive property in football?
I try to not do transitive
property. I'm going to do the transitive property right here.
No, I mean, sometimes it is data.
Yeah.
All right, let's rank our games of the weekend. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 99 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, boys. God, this is like just one of those times of the year where you're just like, I need every TV screen.
Oh, yeah. I love October. Best sports month, no doubt.
I think Calkins talked me into this. I think we need the Blue Jays to win tonight because, let's be real, game two is going to get swallowed up by football. Mm-hmm. And if they don't win tonight and we, like, game two will be if a tree falls in a forest and nobody's there, I just think we're going to have a tough time believing.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like they can even, like, that's the thing. Even if they leave with a split, it just feels like we need them to win game one so we can talk ourselves into it. I'm somewhat hopeful that this can be a series, but then you can always just find yourself like in the Brewers thing where you've talked yourself into the Brewers making it a thing, and then you realize, like, well, that was dumb.
Yeah.
All right, so if we're ranking the five best games, all right, let's go around the room. We'll go with our number five. DeMichael, you lead us off.
Number five game this week. I'm gonna start with let's go to the NFL.
All right.
Let's go to the NFL. I'm gonna go with Bears Ravens.
Okay.
I think Lamar's playing, so that's the added caveat here. I do think that Lamar is gonna play. And I just don't like the fact that the Bears have a four-game win streak. And people are gonna somebody out there, I know my guy Jason is watching for listening right now.
I think somebody's gonna take that juice. 5-2 last year as well?
I think they were five and two.
They didn't have a four-game win streak. And they actually look somewhat functional right now. But I just still don't.
I would say they look competent.
Yeah.
But there is a question of opponent adjusted. But yeah. I agree. They've looked competent. All right, for number five, I'm going Giants Eagles. Jackson Dart's never lost to the Eagles. And again, I've been wondering what if we never lose to the Eagles. AJ Brown's out again.
He is out.
I don't know if that might be better. It feels like the dysfunction. Jalen Carter will be back. I think the Thursday night game where the Giants won is a mirage. But even though they won and beat the Vikings on Sunday, the Eagles are still not passing the eye test. And weirdly, somehow, maybe this is adjusted because the Giants have been such an awful watch for the last few years. We're actually an entertaining watch right now.
Yeah.
We've gone from one of the worst watches in football.
You respect them.
Yeah. We're not, we're capable of anything. So, it's kind of car crash.
People just like the car crash. That's what people think when they see you running.
Correct.
That's they like watching it. It's like a car crash.
All right, George, your number five.
My number five, I am going with the World Series Game 1 tonight.
Right.
I am super interested, especially in the pitching matchups throughout this series.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised that the Blue Jays are going with Yesavage here for Game 1 when you've got, realistically, he's one of four or five actual starting pitchers that they've got on their roster for the World Series. But also on the other side, Blake Snell has just been carving this postseason. He's been phenomenal. Yeah. And he's one of my favorite pitchers to watch. He's just so fun.
Has a pitcher ever looked like a different person with a goatee more than Blake Snell? Blake Snell goatee versus Blake Snell, raised Blake Snell is unidentifiable.
Completely different humans.
Yeah. All right, number four.
Woo. Number four, I'm going to go with the game we talked about earlier. I'm going to go LSU and A&M.
All right.
I'll go four there.
All right, I agree at four.
Yeah.
I'm actually putting Sunday Night Football there.
Okay.
I'm a little bit
the coin flip.
Yeah, I'm more interested in that college game because of the potential implications on either side, of who wins, who doesn't win there. But I'm going with Packers-Steelers as my number four.
All right, three, I'm going Packers-Steelers.
I'm not there yet. I'm going World Series Game 1.
All right,
three okay.
That's where I am.
And your three?
My three is going to be A&M LSU.
Okay.
We just got a little different order working here.
Number two, I'm going with Ole Miss Oklahoma. I just think it is a fascinating matchup. I'm not sure either has a particularly good win.
Yeah.
But I also don't know if I think both fan bases want to think the other team's overrated.
That's exactly what's going on.
But I don't really know. I don't know. Either way. But it is a fascinating game to me.
Yeah.
So I'm putting that as my number two.
That's my number two as well. I just get that fact. Oklahoma's saying you're overrated. And Ole Miss is saying, no, you're overrated.
It's the Spider-Man meme. And then Texas is just in the background.
Yeah. What about us?
Obviously, I think, we all know that, that one has moved up a slot, obviously, for me. But my number two is actually Mizzou Vandy. I'm really interested by that game. Weirdly so. Because I feel like both of those programs are weirdly in a similar spot.
Oh, for sure.
The winner of this game is a playoff contender, and it's not fake.
Yeah.
Yes, and for what, mind you, both of these teams, excuse me, going forward, might have some big changes coming up. We have no idea how this coaching carousel is going to spin. where some of these really...
Well, you're saying these are poach schools right here.
But we've talked plenty about Eli Drinkwitz potentially.
Yep.
And then on the other side, why hasn't Clark Lee's name come up more? I understand the alum, all that stuff, but he's proving to
what's
be
even
a
more
great
so, guys,
coach.
He's a CAA client.
Oh. Yeah.
That's the closest thing to being a Boris client.
Yeah.
And he's not getting, like, why?
The Vandy roots.
But at the same time, he's proven to be a damn good coach.
I do not understand. Sure. I almost wonder, though, if there's a... Is it Pavia? Is it Clark Lee? Question.
But I
would point out, almost any coach in the country at a major P4 could have gotten Pavia.
Yeah,
he's the one that went and got him.
Yeah,
and built the whole thing around him.
Yeah,
so it's like, does he get no credit for that?
You definitely get credit for that.
And to even that point, I mean, sure, it's offensive side of the ball. Clark Lee made his name as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Vandy's defense is legit. Like, they've been good the last handful of seasons here.
Yeah. That's where his impact truly comes in, for sure.
All right, my number one.
What you got?
It's the greatest rivalry in the city of Memphis.
Ah.
MUS Christian Brothers tonight.
Oh.
Of course, you can hear the game on 790 The Bet. I'm scared, boys.
Gotta respect that.
Uh-huh.
Have to.
They're 3-5, we're 5-2, but that's a throw the records out game, and that's also not everybody plays the same teams at the same time. Like, there's a little of that, and we have like 10 really good players, and like 7 are hurt. But you can hear pregame at 6:45 on 790 The Bet. No, it is literally, I think it's the best rivalry in town. It's high school rivalry. It's the best. And
you did let us know yesterday that scheduling and venue has been.
We have to play. We got to play on the road again, because the way it works in our league, when they reshuffle the teams from the middle and the eastern part of the state with the west, like, everyone gets reshuffled, and it just works out that, like, there's sometimes you play an opponent twice in a row, and it's like, could you have made it a different game?
Yeah,
so I think we weirdly had to do it. When I was in high school, too. Like, there was a reshuffle, and we had to play them twice. But, no, it is my favorite game of the year. It's my favorite rivalry of the year. So, that is my game. That is my number one. And I'm scared.
Oh, boy. Number one for me. I mean, y'all know what's number one for me. This is something.
I meant to ask you.
Yeah.
What do we make of Rodgers doing the whole, I'm going to retire Packer? Like, I understand what he's saying is, like, he's going to, but, like, he's not saying, like, I'm going to back to play. Like, I get
No.
He's going to do the ceremonial contract, all that.
Right.
But that felt like Rodgers just, like, mental, like, pretzel move, right?
You think that's what it is? Look, I feel like in my years of watching him, he has no problem kind of saying, like, when he wants to give it to someone – You heard the Niners talk for years.
No, that's a fair point.
Like, so I think it's genuine. I think it's 100% genuine. But
there is also the reality of like, up until this year, there's no other part of his career we want to remember.
You're right.
Now,
that's a third day this week.
The other reason why I think Sunday Night Football is interesting.
Uh huh.
We talked about it last week.
Uh huh.
But I'm saving Thursday Night Football adjusted. Like, is this thing real? Because Thursday night last week was the first time I was like, okay, maybe this can work better than I thought. Because I just thought their offensive line was not going to be good enough to keep him upright.
Mm-hmm.
But it's working right now.
It's working. I mean, the way they block from a protection standpoint, like, they did really good against Myles Garrett.
Right? Yes.
So you would suspect, even though, you know, they don't have the greatest tackle combination in the NFL, but they use the same kind of protection plans that they did against Myles Garrett, where, yes, you have a left tackle who's given up 4 sacks and like 14 pressures this year in Broderick Jones. But Mike Tomlin is very well aware of number one on the other end. But yeah, it's the quarterback thing, man. It's this one is different for me. People have asked me, like, is this the same as when Favre came back and played against Rodgers? And no, it's not the same, because when Favre came back and played against Rodgers, he was on the Vikings.
Yeah, division opponent.
Drill him.
Yeah.
Make him regret leaving in the worst way possible. But Favre, I mean, you know, there was rumored You know, the
they
Vikings
did it every single year. Yeah.
Yeah, but like he's all the way over there. He's a Pittsburgh. Like it's when I think of Pittsburgh, I think of us winning the Super Bowl against him. I have no problems with him. Like that's what comes to mind when I think of Pittsburgh. So it's a situation where I saw David Bakhtiari, former Green Bay left tackle, say he wants Rodgers to play well, but he wants Green Bay to win. Like, I don't want us to kill the guy, but I do want us to win. I don't want Aaron Rodgers to be able to say he beat all 30 teams in the NFL in Green Bay.
Is this the last one?
This is the last one?
Yep.
Is it?
So he has 31.
He's beating everyone else.
God. All right. You're number one, George, before we break.
Pretty obvious. That's going to be Ole Miss at Oklahoma, not just for the, you know, what happens throughout the rest of this season, but we also have to remember Oklahoma ended up on Ole Miss's schedule as one of their three annual SEC opponents.
Much to Lane Kiffin's chagrin. All right, let's take a break. When we come back quickly, we'll tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, I have no idea what to make of this, but according to Molly McGrath, who I assume will be on tomorrow's call, Lane Kiffin told me he usually doesn't address those kind of coaching rumors in season because there's so much more football to play and there's so many bigger things to focus on.
Right.
But he's actually going to do things different today in their team meeting. He's going to address those Florida rumors with his players. He's going to talk to them about it and say, hey, this is what happens when you win. This is a compliment to our players, our staff, and our entire program. He wants to talk to his players about it because there's so many new guys on this year's team and they haven't dealt with it before.
Ooh, that's risky.
I got to know what he's saying because this could impact. Like, I could go hammer Ole Miss Moneyline if he does the Leo, I'm never leaving speech.
But that'll fire the boys up.
This, to me, I'm making it a tell your story because it's like, look at all the right things he's doing.
Mm.
It's like, that's a big bunch of nothing.
Yeah.
All right, good luck tonight as DeMichael covers the game. Again, you can hear that on at 6:30 with pregame right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Tip off with Eric at 7. For George, for DeMichael, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kinn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.